morning. Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. If there are any visitors worshiping with us today, welcome. And we ask you to join us downstairs following worship for a time of fellowship. And if you could please sign the guest book at the front entrance, that would be great. I'd like to thank Reverend Dr. Nancy Coises for joining us again today. My name is Jane Wiseman, by the way, and I'm the duty elder this morning. The Girl Guides will be selling cookies following the service during the time of fellowship. And there are still tickets available for the Sinatra Celebration Sophisticated Swing and the Easter services. We have Maundy Thursday, which will be held at Brant Hills, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, which is here. I'd like to say thank you to the ladies who made the palm crosses, Janine, Deneen, Helena, and actually myself. I think that's it all for all the announcements. I will just take a moment to prepare for worship.
In the responsive call to worship. Am I doing the right? Oh, no, you're doing
that. I can
that.
Do that. Yes,
oh, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah.
My mistake.
Lent's journey brought us to a place of celebration and confrontation. Where will the road take us? Are we among those who will shout, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord"? Are we among those who welcome Christ as the Prince of Peace, or are we among those who are already plotting his demise? Let us pray. God of palm and passion, we are confused by our destination. Is this the place where the journey has led us? This celebration has alarming undertones and unsettling features. Are we greeting a king, or are we sending a lamb to slaughter? Stay with us as we confront the truth of this moment. Stay with us as we prepare for the darkness ahead. Stay with us as it is a fearful time. Our first hymn, Praise Him, Praise Him, number 372.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Christ, sent by God and sent of God. And blessed are we to lay our praises before you like cloaks on the ground. Blessed is the dust on your feet for its knowledge of your ways. Blessed is the touch of your hand to those humble before your power. And blessed are the ears that plant your word like a seed in our hearts. Yet like the people who greeted Jesus as he entered Jerusalem and later pronounced, "Crucify him," we can sometimes be fickle people who often deny Christ in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Remembering the events of Jesus last week helps us to see ourselves for what we are, sinners in need of a Savior that we have in Christ. In honesty and hope and a moment of silence, we confess now our sins to God. Accept our praise and adoration, our confession, our worship and love. Grant that we who now confess you with our lips may never fail to give you the service of our lives as we pray in your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespass, as we forgive those debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
let us now join together in hymn number 218, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. To see all of you here today. I'm so glad you're here, and I'm glad to see you too, the girl guides. Thank you for being here too. I hope you're selling cookies, right? Okay, good. I'm glad to see you. Now, one thing to ask about, look at all these beautiful crosses and the palms. Did any of you help make these? No? Okay. But maybe you'll hand them out later. Yeah, that's good. They're really lovely, aren't they? Now, do you know why we have palm crosses here? Because it's almost Easter. Yeah, and Friday is Good Friday, and that's when Jesus died. Very good. Thank you. I knew that I would get good answers here this morning. Yeah. Now, how about palms today? Anybody know? Did you ever hear of Jesus riding into Jerusalem? I have a sneaking suspicion that you know. Yeah, they wave the palms, yeah, and they lay them down, and everybody was happy to see Jesus come in, and he was coming into Jerusalem, right? And so they were using the palms, okay, to welcome him. And you already talked about Good Friday, right? Where Jesus dies? Yeah. And so then there's all kinds of things that happen between now and between Easter, right? Jesus goes and he's arrested. Remember, he's arrested. He's beaten. He's crucified. And we think about that this week before Easter and remember what he did for us. Now, why do you think, any reason, do you have any idea why Jesus did that? It was either his life or theirs or maybe ours? Yeah, okay. Any other ideas? Why did Jesus do that? So that we would have reconciliation with God? That's a hard word. That we would have a relationship with God? Very good. Do you have any other ideas? You know what? I think ultimately it's because Jesus loves us, right? And God loves us. And he gave himself for us because he loves us. And so whenever you are at school, you can remember that God loves you no matter what you face. God loves you. And that he came on Palm Sunday and we all shouted hooray, but then a lot of people turned around and crucified him. The following Friday, you were exactly right. And that's because Jesus loves us, and he always will. Okay? Does that make sense? Can you raise your hand if that makes sense? Okay. Okay, why don't we pray just for a minute? Dear God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came in to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We thank you that people were happy to see him. We also thank you that because of your love for us, that Jesus Christ came and died and rose again, and that we can have right relationship with you, that we can talk to you, we can pray to you, and know that you're always there. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks. Good to see you.
The responsive psalm today is Psalm 118, verse 1 and 2, then 19 to 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say,
God's steadfast love endures forever.
And then 19 to 29. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, beseech you, O Lord.
O Lord, we beseech you, give us success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God, and I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever.
Thank you, Jane. Now let us please turn to the Old Testament reading from Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9, found on page 681 of your Pew Bibles. Page 681, Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, and I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Let us now turn to the New Testament section of your Bible, page 197, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. And that is on page 23 of the New Testament section of your pew Bible, Matthew 21, 1 through 11. And this is Matthew's story of Palm Sunday. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Let us now join together in singing hymn number 225, A New Commandment. So glad to be here with you this morning. Thank you for waiting for me. I drove pretty fast between Central, Presbyterian, and here, but I won't tell you how fast. But anyway. Yes, there's a story about a little boy who was sick on Palm Sunday, and he stayed home from church with his mother. His father came back from church holding one of those palm branches, and the little boy was curious and said, "Why do you have a palm branch, Dad?" The dad said, "You see, when Jesus came into town, everybody waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches at church today." The little boy replied, "Ah, shucks. The one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." And yes, Jesus does show up. He's the one who comes into Jerusalem after walking 17 miles and climbing 3,000 feet from Jericho to Bethphage. But who is this one who comes? He instructs his disciples to find a donkey and a colt in a nearby village, and they do like he tells them. So he gets on the cloak-covered donkey and rides into the city, perhaps often dragging his feet on the ground. This is not the way kings traditionally entered cities. Jerusalem was under Roman rule, and Roman conquerors knew how to stage parades to honor someone great. There, the conquering general rode in a chariot of gold, with wheel spikes flashing in the sunlight, pulled by proud stallions. Behind him, officers in polished armor displayed the banners captured from vanquished armies. At the rear came the ragtag procession of prisoners in chains, hanging their heads in humiliation, living proof of what happens to those who defy Rome. But not Jesus. He came humbly to the daughter of Zion, which was a code word for Jerusalem. In fact, the author of Matthew inserts a modified form of Zechariah 9:9, which is in its original form says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion, shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The one who comes, Jesus, fulfills Old Testament imagery, but in Matthew 21, he's not called triumphant or victorious. It was British essayist John Ruskin who said, "I believe the first test of a truly great man is his humility. I do not mean by humility doubt of his own power or hesitation in speaking his opinions, but really great men have a feeling that the greatness is not in them, but through them, that they could not do or be anything else than God made them." Renowned South African pastor Andrew Murray said, "The humble person feels no jealousy or envy. He can praise God when others are preferred and blessed before him. He can bear to hear others praised when he is forgotten, because he has received the spirit of Jesus, who pleased not himself and who sought his own honor. Therefore, in putting on Jesus Christ, he has put on the heart of compassion, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, and humility." The one who comes in humility. Yet not everybody in the crowd there understands. Here in Jerusalem, thousands, some say millions of people crowded the city for the Jewish festival, probably Passover. They say, "Who is this?" and call him the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. They may be surprised that a prophet could come from so unlikely a place, and many thought Galilee was a backwater. But they don't understand. Early in Matthew, it's also clear the disciples don't understand. The mother of the sons of Zebedee come to Jesus with her sons and asks, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in the kingdom." Talk about helicopter parenting. But anyway, perhaps they thought Jesus would usher in a military kingdom. Jesus replies that they do not know what they are asking. "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" They believed that they were able to drink that cup, although they did not yet understand what that meant. Others in the crowd understand that he's more than a prophet. They are like the blind men earlier in Matthew, who are in Jericho, who say Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah, although the crowd there sternly ordered them to be quiet. Only those in Jerusalem who had eyes to see understood the symbolism of Jesus coming on a donkey. According to Matthew, some entered Jerusalem before and behind him, praising him and shouting that he is the son of David. They spread their cloaks on the road and cut branches from trees, perhaps myrtle, willow, and of course, palm. Now, the event reminds me a little bit of the film The King's Speech, and perhaps many of you have seen that film. If you remember, it's the story of a reluctant King George VI who became king after his father's death and his brother's abdication. He was very ashamed of his stutter and was all the more ashamed, especially when he stammered through his speech, closing the British Empire exhibition at Wembley Stadium in 1925. In a scene in Westminster Abbey, not long before his coronation, Albert declares his fear that because of his stuttering, he will be the future Mad George, King the Stutterer, or Stammerer, who let his people down in their hour of need. While he's agonizing over his fears, his language therapist, Lionel Logue, removes the revered Stone of Scone and sits in the coronation chair. Utterly offended, Albert yells, "What are you doing? Get up. You can't sit there. Get up." Lionel responds, "It's a chair." Albert resumes, "No, that's not a chair. That's St. Edward's chair." Lionel responds calmly, "People have carved their names in it." To which Albert yells, "That chair is the seat on which every king and queen, you're trivializing everything." Lionel swears and picks up the Stone of Scone and continues to egg Albert on. Albert breaks through his stammer and yells that he must listen to him. "By divine right, I am your king. And finally, because I have a right to be heard, I have a voice." They both pause and Lionel quietly answers, "Yes, you do. You have such perseverance, Bertie. You are the bravest man I know. You will make a great king." And Lionel saw in Albert, Duke of York, what others did not see and knew, that he would be a great king in a time of war. And the one who comes into Jerusalem comes as sometimes hidden and long expected king. The phrase "the one who comes" is important in Matthew. In Matthew 11:12, John the Baptist, who is in prison, sends word by his disciples saying to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answers, "Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." The one-time Methodist Bishop of Mississippi, Jack Meadors, tells a wonderful story of an incident that occurred during the Special Olympics. 9 children lined up for the 100-yard dash. The gun sounded and the race was off, but only a few yards into the race, one of the children fell and began to cry. For some reason, these challenged children did not understand the world's concept of competition and getting ahead, and taking advantage when a competitor was down. The 8 children, stopped running and went back to their fallen comrade. A young girl with Down syndrome kissed him and brushed him off. The children lifted him up together, arm in arm, and together they ran over the finish line. The audience rose to their feet in applause. There was not one winner, there were 9 winners. For a fleeting moment, these children showed what the kingdom of God is like. They challenged the world's concept that first place is everything. The world says defeating, even destroying one's competitor is the way to go, and that competition and success is an indisputable law. On Palm Sunday, and then again in the upper room, and then again on the cross, Jesus challenged the world's concept of power. The one who comes brings grace and healing. Now we know that Palm Sunday is not the end. As we've said, the one who comes brings humility, brings fulfillment, brings grace, and brings healing. The day is joyful. He is celebrated. People are rejoicing in his presence on Palm Sunday. Yet they are the same people who will eventually call for crucifixion. Whether Jesus knew precisely what would happen is not clear, although later in Matthew he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather our children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." We know what will happen: the Last Supper, Peter's denial, the betrayal, the arrest, going before Jewish and Roman leaders, the crucifixion, and Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. His riding a donkey into Jerusalem is just the beginning. Perhaps he sensed that many of the people cheering for him that day would be shouting, "Crucify him," before the end of the week. He was deliberately presenting himself as a king, but not the kind the world knew. He would yield no worldly political power. Rather, he was fulfilling precisely the prediction made about him by the prophet Isaiah when he spoke of the suffering servant in the Old Testament. He would rule from a cross. Pastor Scott Hosey asks what the gospel story would be like if it ended with Palm Sunday. Like the disciples, we maybe would like it if the gospel could conclude right here. After all that the disciples had been through, and with their own secret hope that Jesus would be a political success on whose coattails they would ride to prominence, the disciples looked at the triumphal entry and thought, "Now this is more like it." So also on Palm Sunday, if they could have hit the pause button on the remote control of life, this would have been a wonderful image to freeze. The problem is that Palm Sunday does not bring reconciliation with God. The word the people used to praise Jesus meant "save us," but given the world we are in, there could be no reconciliation from that kind of happy parade. And maybe at this time of suffering refugees, calculated violence, and political unrest, maybe we don't need to work very hard to convince ourselves of this point. If we look back on history, we see that human sin has resulted not in one long string of happy parades, but rather in many instances of sorrow. To be reconciled with God, the world needed more than a happy parade. Father Henry Nouwen found a sculpture of Jesus on a donkey in a museum in Germany. He calls it one of the most moving Christ figures he knows. The 14th century sculpture originally came from a small town close to Breisach on the Rhine. It was made to be pulled in a cart on Palm Sunday. Nouwen found himself drawn to the sculpture. He sent postcards of it to his friends and kept one in his prayer book. Looking at the face of Jesus, he reflected, "There is melancholy but also peaceful acceptance. There is insight into the fickleness of the human heart, but also immense compassion. There is a deep awareness of the unspeakable pain to be suffered, but also a strong determination to do God's will. Above all, there is love, an endless, deep, and far-reaching love born from an unbreakable intimacy with God, and reaching out to all people wherever they are, were, or will be. There is nothing Jesus does not fully know. There is nobody whom he does not fully love. So the one who comes brings love." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We will now receive our tithes and offerings. Thank you. O God, we return to you a portion of that with which you have gifted us with. We thank you for your sustenance. We thank you for your presence with us. We also thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and rose and lives again. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Please be seated. Let us pray. I'd like to do something just a little bit different. When I say, Lord, hear our prayer, please respond with, and in your love, answer. Okay, do you want to try it? And in your love, answer. Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Jesus, you set your face toward Jerusalem and walked alongside those who suffer. Be our vision that we too may walk the way of compassion and extend a hand to those we meet. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your love, answer. Lord, you stopped to heal the sick and tend to those broken in body, mind, or spirit. Be our vision that we too may be a source of healing to all in need of your grace. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your love, answer. Jesus, you said, the first shall be last and the last first. Be our vision that we too may work towards your realm, when the marginalized and oppressed will be raised up and know that they are indeed beloved children of the holy. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your love, answer. Lord, you entered Jerusalem with peace in your heart. Be our vision that we too can live as people of peace in the face of the world's many conflicts. May we hold your vision of justice and peace ever before us. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your love, answer. Lord, we think of those among us who need our prayers for whatever reason. Help them to find healing or whatever help that they may need. Lord, hear our prayer, and in your love, answer. Let us now sing together hymn number 217, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.